Today's daf in Masechet Arachim, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Chof, and we're holding right at that Halakha Mishnah. Chomer ba'arachim ibinadarim. Now, there are certain ways in which Arachim has greater chumras than the equivalent neder of the actual monetary value as opposed to the Torah assigned value of a person. Ketzah. What do we mean? Well, if somebody would say, Ha'omer erki alai, somebody commits himself to paying his own erech and he dies, then the Yorshim are going to have to pay because it makes no difference that he subsequently died, because we don't need to look at him as an individual to see his value. We only need to look at the value that the Torah assigned at that moment. And therefore the Yorshim are chayav. But if somebody said, Dami alai v'meit, if he committed to him his value, then at that point, since he died at the time of the Netina, a dead person has no value. And therefore the Yorshim are not chayav anything. Lo yitnu ha-Yorshim she'en damim l'meitim. There is no such thing as a market value for a dead body. Erech yadi, ve'erech ragli alai. Now there's also, this does not follow directly. What happens is that we start off with the contrast of Erech and Nedarim. But since at the end of the Mishnah, Rechezer, to the issue of whether Damim Lemeitim, and the relationship of various things that are learned in the Damim from Erech, it's put all together. So this middle part is not a direct continuation of the Chumra aspect. So if somebody would say, Erech Yadi, or Erech Ragli Alai. So continuing with the question of Domim Lameitim, there's also a difference as to whether somebody would say the Erech of an organ which is not absolutely essential for life, like my hand or my foot. So in terms of Erechim, he owes nothing because there's no such thing. Lo Omar Klum, it's as if he wasn't Machayev himself at all. But if he would say Erech Roshi, so my head, Erech, or my liver's Erech, is alai. Then, since it's a tabash and a shamat luyavo, he's not ten Erech kulo. Zehakla, the dover and a shamat luyavo, the rule is, anything which is necessary for life, not ten Erech kulo, and we saw that earlier from Erech Chanif Hashot, that wherever there's a chiyav of nefesh, and this is called nidon bichvodo. Now, if somebody says chatzi Erech alai, half of my erech. So then, you could be mechayev yourself on a half an erech, and then you pay chetzi erko, because you're only mekabel yourself the chiyav of half of the erech. So the erech is the normal erech, and you're going to pay half of it. But if you say, I want an erech of half of me, since half of you is going to, definitely, if it's missing, is going to cause your departure, so then it's a nidon bechvado, because it's a neshamat luyavo. So if he says, Erech chetzi alai, then he pays the entire erech, loten erech kulo. And here is the contrast to domim. If somebody says half of my domim, so the din would be that chatzi domim alai would pay chatzi domim. Demei chetzi alai, noten demei kulo. Remarkably, there's a din of nidon bechvodo by domim too, even though it doesn't say nefashot when it comes to dami. So that what began as a chumra in Erech and over Nedarim, and then started, we thought we saw where we were going, suddenly it turns out to have exactly the same klal. So zeh klal, davasha neshamat luyavo, notein demei kulo. And as we're going to see again in the Gemara, but we learned already earlier in the Masechta, the Torah compares domim to erechin by saying, neder be'erkecha. And therefore there's a din, remember margalit lekalim, and the din of nidon bechvado are the same, whether we're talking about erechin or we're talking about domim. Now, there is a contrast in the question of the survival of the ne'erach versus the nidir. So let's say, if somebody would say, Omer erko shel ploni alai, that's not only erki alai. We're over there, we understand that it's no get his own survival. But it's exactly as if somebody says, so-and-so's erech is achiev on me. So here's how to see clearly. If either the noder or the nider died, it makes no difference. The yorshim is still chayev. But if you say, domav shel ploni alai, and then the noder dies, so the yorshim are already chayev. But if the nider dies, the one who is the ploni, then the object, the yorshim, do not have to pay. Why? There's nothing to pay. Because he doesn't have any value. In exactly the same way that we contrasted it in the ratio.
really a time period he has to pay by?
Yeah, we'll see later on how when we start going after him. You know, there's a whole process which the one's going to go through of collection, putting in the newspapers, posting notices, selling his property. It's a whole complex series. The Braita expands that Nedorim are Chalan Vehima Chaya Ba'ov and Ein Nidonim Beheseg Yad. If a person makes a neder, it doesn't matter that he goes bankrupt. He's still going to always be chayav to pay when he gets the money. So there's no din of Heseg Yad. Imach Hu Mi'erkecha. Masha Inking by Erechin, where you can get out of the Erech if you're bankrupt by paying a single shekel. And furthermore, when it comes to Erech, if you make an Erech on a Kli or on a Chayav Oath, there is no Chiyav at all. So that is a Chumra that we have by Nadorim. On the other hand, there's also a Chumra Berechim in Nadorim, Ketzad. As we saw in the Mishnah, if you say Erech Yalai and then die, the Yorshim are Chayav. But someone who says Domi Alai Vemet, Lo Yitnu Yorshim, because there's nothing to be Chayav in, because Ein Damim Lemetim. If he says Erki alive, a mate, says the Gemara, Yitznu Yorshim? I mean, I understand your point. Your point is that it doesn't matter whether he's alive or dead. But I mean, you're taking for granted that heirs are responsible to pay a debt to Hekdesh. But why? It's a milvah pet. I mean, there's no contract to insure this debt. So how can you collect it from heirs? You can only collect when there's a shibud against the estate. But a shibud against the estate only occurs when there's a contractual shibud. So where did the shibud come from? So are you trying to say that shmamina milva al peh govemina yorshim, that you can collect even an oral debt from heirs? No, says the Gemara. Of course I'm not trying to say that. But this is a special case because it's a milva k'tuva b'torah. So therefore it's the equivalent to shiny ach milva k'tuva b'torah. Oh, so, okay, but then in other words, you're telling me that it's a rule that a milva k'tuva b'torah is the equivalent of k'tuva b'shtar dami. Is that what you're saying? No, I'm not even saying that, because that's a machloket. But ach, b'mayaskinan, it may well be talking about over here a special case where, before he died, he was already amad bedin. So therefore, bedin was already koveya his chov. Once a chov is kavuin, beidin, then it's kiktuva bishtar. Now, wait a minute. So then the contrast doesn't make sense. So in other words, if the case is that he was amad bedin, and then that means the contrast to domim, he was also amad bedin. So the kavatai, where he said domi alai, is also talking about he was amad bedin. So why, if he dies, is it potter? Besdin was already koveya. You owe this money. What's the difference whether he's alive or dead afterwards? I mean, the whole point was, ein damim lemeitim, but at this point, the chiyuv came earlier. So if it's talking about kavataga b'domi alai, that he was amad bedin, amai lo yitnu yorshim? I don't understand. Why then do the yorshim do not have to pay? No, because you see, even though he said domi alai, even if he was amad bedin, he is still mechusar umdana. They were never mechayev him to pay, because they never actually evaluated him. So even though they said, okay, we're going to evaluate you and you're going to have to pay. But he died before they evaluated him. But once they say to a Baal Erechin that you're chayav to pay, there's nothing to value. You're chayav to pay means you're chayav to pay X by definition, because the Torah gave the Erechin. So by the case of Damim, the Yorshim don't pay because it's b'chusar umdana. Masha'in came by the case of Erechin, lo mechusar v'lo klum. There's nothing else to say. The Bezda was b'chayev him. Maybe that's why it's a equivalent of milva aktuva b'shtar. Okay, the next case we had was
when a person says Erechin alai, he always does it in front of Eidim, at least that much.
He's not. Makhi, it should make some difference.
Yeah, milva, no difference.
No difference.
Without
Aiden, that's a question of whether a kol is, whether it could be miatzer a kol without a shtar, so that's a bab mitzi issue.
Then.
Since he doesn't need to be evaluated, so therefore he is automatically chayev. But in the other case, he's not automatically chayev just because Bezdin said we're going to evaluate you. Erech Yadi and Ragli, so we said, Lo Amar Klum. Guy gives an Erech, and for a hand, that's ridiculous, because it's not a Dover Shem Neshamat Tluyabo, and therefore there's nothing. Omer Gil Amar Rav, well, but that doesn't mean he's not Chayev. He has to pay the value in the market between having a hand or not having a hand, like we said before. Hey, now, wait a minute. Can't you read? It says Lo Amar Klum. You don't give anything. Don't tell me you give Damim. I mean, the Mishnah couldn't have been more clear. You don't give a dime. No, of course the Mishnah said that, but the Mishnah's going, I'll leave it to Rabbanan. You don't understand my point. Lo Amar Klum, that's according to the Rabbanan. Remember that there's a famous machloket we've had so many times, between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, whether Adam Motzi Dvarav Levatala. According to Rabbi Meir, we always twist a word to mean something that has some practical implication. Legally. So when the guy says Erech on my TV set, according to Rabbi Meir, Erech of a TV set, what he really means is what it costs, its value. He doesn't mean an Erech. Nobody's stupid enough to think a TV set has an Erech in the term. So over here, the same thing. If a guy said that the value of my hand, he knows that that's not the point, but we translate it to be meaningful. So therefore, notein damel, Rabbi Meir. Say, Lo Amar Klum is true according to Rabbanan. What I was saying, says Rav Gidla Marav, is I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, you would have to pay at least its market value. Ah, oh, come on, he's not doing this again. He already said that before. Amar Chodazimna, remember, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav, same exact ma'amar we had before, back in the first parak. Amar Erech Kli Zel, a guy gives his TV sets Erech, he has to pay the damim. Why? Because we translate it to be meaningful. So why does he have to repeat it over here? Ah, because you see, a TV set, nobody's dumb enough to think that a TV set has an Erech. So therefore, ma'ad ha'tema ha'tam u'dafken over there in that case, where Adam yodea she'in Erech likli, a guy knows that it's a ridiculous statement. So what he meant to define for himself was l'shem domim. He's just using a loose word. But Mashenkin over here, it's very easy to make an honest mistake, right? Because he may have seen the day before a guy said, the value of my head. And he ended up having to pay the whole thing because a head, at least that most people don't sleep through Daf Yomi, has a value in which the neshama is tluyavai. So he thought the same way that if he said, my head or my liver, they don't call it a liver for nothing. It's, the life is dependent on it, right? So the kiyika, same way, Erech Roshi, he saw somebody being chayv to pay the whole Erech for his head or for his liver, Erech Kvedi. See, he thought, okay, so in other words, if you to say a part, it's the whole thing. So he says, Erech Yadi, Erech Ragli, he also thought. So when we tell him, nope, sorry, it's a mistake, you should pay anything, maybe, even a liver of Gidol Amarav, that's what I might have mistaken. But he didn't mean to say in this case, about me. Kamash Malanda Alibid Rabbi Meir, we are always mefarish what a person means in a way that allows it to be meaningful. Now the question of whether is that an insight into what he wants, or is it a definition of how a person is mitchayev? In other words, are we saying Kamash Malan that he did not make such a mistake? And that he really was Gomar V'Yomar, Alibid Rabbi Meir L'Shem Domim? Or is he broadening the meaning of what Rabbi Meir says? That since a person says something, he relies on us to make it meaningful. That's not clear from the sugya. But L'maisa, I mean, since the Rishon Lotzer, the Ritva says, where does Rabbi Meir say this, Dafli Le'inyan, a netter for Hegdash? So that's similar to the idea of ta'ut behegdash, which is not considered to be a ta'ut, according to some. The idea over here, therefore, if that's the case, would be that once a person commits himself to hegdash, he wants us to make his words work in some fashion. Well, that's a different issue. So then that could be enochidami. Maybe he did make the mistake, but al pikein. We don't say, well, since it was a mistake, he's not chayav anything. We say that deep down he intends to give money to Hegdash. Okay, but this, I mean, we're going to have plenty other examples of Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan. We'll keep this in mind as we continue onwards through Shas. Erech Roshi, Erech Kvedi, Noten Erech Kulo. Okay, I just want to remind you, the reason for that is because it says, Perkecha davka nefashot. Nefashot is anything that neshama tluyava. All right, so then you make a klal out of it. And the Mishnah says, klal, the general rule being, davar sheneshama tluyava. Now, when you say zeh klal, you mean to expand in some way upon what you just said. I don't understand. What are you expanding? You're saying zeh klal, but you already said the case. It's not, you don't add anything. Oh, no, I do. I do. Because we were talking about hands and feet. So I want you to know, if Lamaisa, the guy was talking about his thigh, in other words, his foot above the knee, then since that would make him a treifa, it's considered to be a davar sheneshama tluyabo. So we say davar sheneshama tluyabo. We don't mean the guy's going to drop dead the minute that you do that, the minute that you would take out that aver. We mean that ultimately it's going to ruin his ability to survive. That's all. It could be long term that we're talking about. And therefore, that kuva lamala is coming to be included in the klal. What? Possibly. I don't know whether it's necessary to make it dependent on that. Because the enachai is yudbeis chedesh. Everybody is made that there's a hidar derut, perhaps. That already is dependent. Aaron is bringing up its dependency in the sugyan chulun about treifa chaya. But the Gemara Sefer is certainly not going to keep improving. All right, so now, by the way, Tosfos is wondering, why don't we just say what does he say, Dafka, this case, of Arkuva Olamal? Why don't we just say any of the Yotches Treifas? What are we jumping on this? So Tosfos says the reason is because this particular case is about Lucas and Kulin, because there's a man, the Amr, Beloza, Reb Shimon, who says that since you can cauterize instantly, you can cauterize an amputation above the knee, then the person will not die. And so Mamela is not considered to be one of the Yotches Treifas because it has a cure had you applied it. So it's Dafka coming to tell me this case a lot fuke from that Shita. But the truth is, I must tell you that there's a much simpler explanation than Tosfos' explanation, which is that the Zeh HaKlal, the Gemara may well want to expand on the case that the Mishnah gave. So since the Mishnah gave a case of my leg, and we defined leg before as meaning up to the knee, so it wants to say, Zeh HaKlal, even a leg could end up being in that Davar Sheneshama Tluyava. If that's talking about where it would be above the knee. Okay, so it wouldn't necessarily mean that this particular machlokas in Chulin is what the Mishnah is coming to address. Okay, now, the next case we had was the Chetzi Erki Alai, no Tain, and Chetzi Erko. So Tana Rabbanan the Bright expands on this. Chetzi Erki Alai, no Tain, Chetzi Erko. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this guy is going to get Malkus, and he has to pay Erek Sholem. What are you talking about? Loki? What? The guy didn't do anything wrong. When he gets Malkus, this is crazy. Am I missing something here? Am I? Omer Papa, no, you don't understand. What he means by Loka is, as we say in English, he takes a hit. That's the pshat. So in other words, even though me Ikarat Din, he really only has to pay half. But this guy's going to have to take a hit and pay the whole thing. Why? Because the Rabbonin were afraid that people will get confused between paying half an erech or an erech of a half. So if you pay half an erech, you really only have to pay 50%. But erech of a half, you have to pay 100%. So they made a gezeira. Whenever you use the word half, you're going to have to pay the whole thing. Now that's really taking a hit, because you may know precisely what you had in mind, you know? But the Rabbanan are going to make you take the hit anyway. That's why he said loke. So he didn't mean you get malchus, chas v'shalom. Omer of Papa, it means loke v'erech shalem. Why? My time at zera chatzi arki atu erech chetzi. Because we have to make a zera. If he would have said erech chetzio, it would be a davash and a shamat luyabo. And a davash and a shamat luyabo, of course, has to pay everything. Okay, then we started off what sounded like this great contrast, right? We said everything by Erechin, and they said, okay, by Domim, if you say Chetzi Domi Allah, you pay half. And if you say Domim of my half, you're ready for it to say, oh, Domim of my half, I also want to pay. No, and the Mishnah ends up saying the same thing. That's weird. So why is that? My time, huh? That's because of the Hekesh. Neder Be'erkecha. So that means we compare Nedarim to Erechin as Gzirat HaKatuv. Okay, and here too, you said Zachlal, what does that include? How about if a guy commits himself to half of the erech of his tivisa? So what's the din over there? So Rabbi Meir Omer, notein gamav, he has to pay the 50% of its value. Chachamim omrim, nah, ridiculous. Lo amar klum. So once Rava became ill, and Abaya comes in to be mevaker chayla, together with the boys of the yeshiva, and they were all sitting around the bed, and they were wondering about this weird bright that would have a machlokas about half the value of a TV set. So they were wondering, what's going on over? I mean, Rabbi Meir, it's clear, right? I mean, Rabbi Meir holds in adam otzidvar ablevatala. So what's the difference whether he said kula or chetzio? Whatever he said, it makes perfectly good sense. I'm going to pay half the erech, meaning half the market value. It's very straightforward. But the Rabbanan don't make any sense. I mean, what do the Rabbanan hold? If they hold Adabot Sidvar Avlavatala, so why are they talking about a case where you said half? It's irrelevant, half. I mean, if you said the whole, it would be the same thing. You said there's no such thing as an erech to a TV, and there's no such thing as a half an erech to a TV. It's exactly the same. But by stressing Dafka half, they seem to be saying, well, but if it had been the whole, you would have had to pay it. So then I don't get it. Then Mamanusha. If Adam is Motzi Dvar of Levatala, you could have said the whole too. And if you hold Ein Adam Motzi Dvar of like Rabbi Meir, so what the heck is the difference? If you said half, or you said the whole? Even if you said Chetzianami, you should be in a matzav that you have to pay that half. Amarlo, Rava, Abaya, the Rabbanan, that they said to the boys, you know, these Rabbanan that are arguing with Rabbi Meir are not the Rabbanan that we had before, that they hold in Adam Motzi Dvar Avlevatala. They hold the same as Rabbi Meir, that Adam is not Motzi Dvar Avlevatala. So why then do they say that you don't have to pay? Because of a completely different issue. They hold like Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to see in a moment what that is. So like Rabbi Shimon. So in other words, insofar as the question of Adam Motzi Dvar Avlevatala, Sabe like Rabbi Meir, who holds in Adam Motzi Dvar Avlevatala, Memela, had you said my entire TV set, then you would have had to pay. But since they also are Sovelak Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon holds a fascinating din that if somebody says, we had Rabbi Shimon before, that if somebody says that I am going to give a mincha from Seorim to the Beit HaMikdash, he doesn't pay anything.
Why?
Because he wasn't mitnadev kiderech ha-mitnadev. Rabbi Shimon holds, the Torah was mechadesh, this concept called nidrei hekdesh, in which you could be mechayev money on yourself as a neder, which is a brand new idea, because it's not like you made a vow, a shvua, I'm going to give something to hekdesh. You made a neder. Somehow or other, that is chal to be mechayev you money of the thing. But that's only where the Torah provided for such an application for Hekdesh. Since there's no such thing as a mincha that a yochid can bring to Hekdesh, so then you weren't mitnadev kiderech ha-mitnadvim. It's also not acceptable in terms of Hekdesh, it's not the derech, to give a half of a thing to the Beis HaMikdash. Memela, that's also lo itnadev kiderech ha-mitnadvim. And the neder isn't chal for a completely different reason, not because ain't adam motzi dvar avlevatala. So since he holds loit nadev kederach mitnadvim, so if you would have said my whole TV said no, okay, so then we understand. Listen, the kohanim have to take care of themselves at night. What are they going to do if they don't watch TV? You know. So kulei urchel mitnadvim. It's the derech to be menadev a kli shalem, and then Bezdin will sell it. The gizbar will sell it. But what are you going to give him a half a TV? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. It's not the derech to say a half. Well, is it? It's meaningless. Because of that, it's not the correct formula for being able to be menatik. So, pagay lav urche lit naduve. Okay, then the Mishnah continued to say that if somebody says, erko shaploni alaiva made, and if the noder is made, okay, so look, did we have this in the ratio of the same case? It's exactly the same as the Reish. The Reish said, he said my own value, he said my own erech, and he died. I mean, I don't know, what are we talking about? We had a whole problem, you remember. The problem was, Richie, why the heirs have to pay if it's not a shtar? How did there get to be a lien against the estate? So we ended up saying, well, Even if you hold that a milvah k'tuvah b'torah is not considered to be k'tuvah b'shtar, it would be talking about that he went to Beit Din and he was Amad Beit Din, and there's a difference, therefore, between the Erechin, where the Torah was immediately assigned him, and the Damim, where it needs Umdana. So I don't understand. So what are you telling me new here? You're repeating yourself. So mind you, what's the case? That he was Amad Beit Din? No. So I know, it's the same as the ratio. What do I care whether the focus is on himself or the focus is on somebody else? It boils down to exactly the same issue. Nope, not true. You're right about the first part. The first part does boil down to the same issue, but the continuation is what's important. Because what's a continuation? Continuation is where you say, Damav shel ploni alai. So in that case, if the noder is made, yitnu hayorshim. That is a tremendous finish. Because I would have said, that ma'od etemak even de lo amdu, lo ishta'abu nirse. What we're talking about over here, remember that it had to be the same case that we had before. The same case, meaning we're contrasting the erech to the neder. So then I would say, all right, so the case is that they were omad bedin, but they didn't do the assessment of the object, right? So I would have said, okay, so if they weren't omad him, so then there can't be a shibud on the nechasim. As we said before, if the guy died before the umdana, so then there never was a shibud. So then if this case, since during the lifetime of the noder, they were never omed him, so therefore there can't be a shibud against the estate to collect from the yorshim. Kamashma, and therefore there's a big chiddush over here, that since the guy in this case is alive, remember there's two different, there's the object and there's the one who made the neder. So in this case, meit ha-noder, we're still going to say that there is a value, right? Okay. So why is that? Because we look at it, if the guy is alive, as being two separate issues. If it was Eimed Bedin, once Beis Din says that there is going to be a collection after we make the umdana, the shibud against the nechasim already takes place. The only question is for how much. But for how much is the same as a giloy milta be'alma. Because remember, the whole idea over here is we protect nechasim. So unless you have a registered lien, you can't collect against real estate. Okay, there are different ways of making a registered lien. As Rabbi Yaakov pointed out before, sometimes Eidim make a registered lien. Certainly Eidim and Beis Din. Over here, a Psak Beis Din makes a registered lien. Writing it in a shtar makes a registered lien. But there's a big difference between the amount of the registered lien and the fact that there's a registered lien. So normally you protect yourself as a buyer by knowing that there's a lien. So you say, but I don't know how much the lien is for. Okay. So then be careful. Don't get involved in the deal if you don't know how much the lien is for. But you're certainly protected. So I could create a lien even though the value is not as yet known. In this case, since the guy never died, see, in the previous case, the guy died, it ends up that there's no amount. And therefore, there's nothing to be mishabed. But over here, actually, the nechasim were mishubadim. The umdana that ultimately takes place is a gilui milta be'alma. It's just to let you know how much it's for. So it's often like that. You may find a registered lien, and then you'll have to go into the records and find out precisely how much it was for. That's very common. And that's just considered to be a gilui milta, just to let you know the amount. Since, in this case, neither the object is there, so therefore, there can be a shiba that occurred earlier. If a guy says, shor ze ola, now remember that the word ze is a lashon of a nedava, not of a neder, right? The big difference between saying alai and ze is that if you say alai, you are committing yourself. So you're taking it on your own shoulders, as we would say in English. And as we say in the Gemara, same words, commander rochiv le'akatfe, you're carrying it on your shoulders. Mashenken, if you say ze, then you're just creating a chiyav in the thing, and you're not taking any responsibility for its replacement if something happens to it through no fault right? So if it gets hit by lightning, that's not your problem. What this Mishnah wants to introduce to us is the relationship of accepting upon yourself shor zeh. And that's very confusing. So suppose a guy says, Hare alai shor zeh lehekdash. So he says, Hare alai korban. Fine, that's very clear. Over here, there seems to be a contradiction. I accept upon myself to give this shor to hekdash. What does that mean? And this is what we're going to be introduced to here. So if you say shor zeh ola, or bayit zeh korban. Now, by the way, what you mean by bayit zeh korban, according to Rashi, bayit zeh korban means I want to give this as a gift to the Berech HaBayit. So that the Mishnah is introducing two things, one in terms of Kedushat HaMizbeach, one in terms of Kedushat Berech HaBayit. Tosfos learns that when you say korban, it means you're giving it to the Mizbeach, and it means you're going to sell the house and give the Damim to the Mizbeach. So what about if the shor dies, or the house collapses? Meit ha-shor, nafal ha-bayit. Since I didn't take it upon myself to pay, so you're patrum and the shalem, you don't have any responsibility to guarantee it. But what if you say, shor zeh alai ola, or bayit zeh alai korban? In that case, if the shor dies or the house collapses, then you would have to pay. Now, this is a little strange. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Omer Rav Chiya bar Rav, we need to understand the Mishnah better. The Mishnah is a little misleading. The only way that you would be chayev to pay in taking responsibility is if you said the value of the shor is alai ola. But if you just said shor zeh alai ola, since you said zeh, so how can you possibly be guaranteeing something else? All you're saying is zeh. So if there is no zeh, what are you supposed to do about it? So therefore, even the omar zeh and the shor was made, because then we understand, what did you mean when you said a lie? All you meant was, a lie lahavioka amar. I'm accepting on myself the responsibility of getting this shor to Hekdash. But if the shor drops dead, there's nothing to do. So like this, you would say, let the Gizbar come and take it to the Beis HaMikdash. But when you say a lie, so then you're saying, I'm going to see to it that it's delivered, lock, stock, and barrel, and it will be this shor that will go for korban. But if the shor is not there, that's not your responsibility. Asks the Gemara, but doesn't the Braita say meitve? Shor ze ola. The din over there is the shor is hegdish the minute you say that. And anybody who would use it, shalok din is meyal in it. If the shor dies or if it's stolen, eno chayav bachrayuto. But if you say shor ze alai ola, so then the shor indeed is hegdesh and moalimbo, but mate onigdav, you are chayev bachrayuto, even though you didn't say demay shor zeh alai. Says, I understand. So, same language that we had in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we explain that the meaning of alai is the dummy alai. So what are you asking me again? This is nothing that is more machayev me than the Mishnah is, for God's sake. So mi alima mi matitin. What, you're going to ask me from a braita? That's more persuasive than the Mishnah. Mishnah was even more persuasive. And nonetheless, I was ukimna. I insisted that the Mishnah meant to say that the word damim was used, the kamar demei shor. So hachinami, the kamar demei. Ah, but I got you there. I knew you were going to say that. But my ace up my sleeve was that I knew the continuation of the braita. Now let's look at the continuation. Since the seifa of this braita introduces damim, it's clear that the reisha was not talking about damim. Aha! Reisha delo karma damim. Listen to the seifa. Now you'll see why I asked you. The tani seifa. Demei shor. Suppose a guy says demei shor ze alai. So then ashor chulin ve'im alimba. Then the shor didn't become hekdash, because you're only being magdash its value, and there's no me'ila in it. Meit onignav, eno chayav b'achrayuto. You certainly are not chayav in its achrayut, but you are chayav in achrayut damav. You are chayav to pay if the shor had been sold. Then you are chayav to take that money and replace it. But if the shor was not sold yet, you are not chayav in it. So do you see that the contrast between the Reisha and the Seifa is the word Domim. So don't try to tell me that the Reisha was talking about you said Domim. It's clearly referring to a case where you didn't say Domim. Ach, no. You're missing the point. The Reisha and the Seifa are both talking about Domim. The difference is that in the Reisha, you were stressing the shor, not the value of the shor. So what you were saying was, I want this shor to immediately become Kedesh, Kedushas Domim. And then we'll sell it and give the value for a carbon. Now, at that moment, it becomes Kodesh for its Domim, and therefore you're Mayal in it. So if you said the a lie, what you meant was that I'm going to replace it. And then in Achinami, if you said a lie, you are chayev in the Achrayut, exactly like the Mishnah. But the Seifa, where it says that you're only chayev b'Achrayut damav, is where you said, when I'm able to sell this shor and get its money, I will give that money to Hegdash. That's the point. Because otherwise, if you were now magish the shor, why is there no me'ila? So clearly that's the point. The Seifa was talking about that your intent was that when the shor is sold, I will give the money to Hegdash. That's the point. It's a whole different issue. In this case, if the shor died before he sold it, it's, we said eino chayav b'achrayuto, because you specified when it would be sold. If I already had sold it, then the domi became hektish. If I didn't sell it, I wasn't magish anything yet. What I said was, when the domi are coming into my hand, then they'll become kaidash. But wait a minute, how can you do that? You can't even be magish things in that way. For in adam magdish davar shelo ba'le olam. Bishlama, if you're telling me the case was that you're magdish the shor for its dummy. And therefore there's me'ila right now, the way you were explaining it, and the way our mission is, okay? Right now you are already magdish. But if you're going to say, when I get the money, then it will become kedesh, you can't do that. Omri, if you're not a rav, you can, if you're like Rabbi Meir. Remember, Rabbi Meir says, you can go to a woman who's not even Jewish, and you can give her kiddushin and say, when you become Jewish, the kiddushin should be chal. You see, a person can be magdish and davar shelo ba'aliyah. Perfect. So according to him, it makes perfectly good sense. So amani Rebbe Meir, diomar adam magdish davar shelo ba'aliyah. Now, others say it was Rav Papa who asked the buyer, some say it was Rami Bar Choma, asked Rav Chista, wait a minute. Are you explaining this keman to Rabbi Meir? Yomer Adam Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'Leolam? And he said, well, what do you think? Vela keman, obviously, it's only like Rabbi Meir. It's just, this is a different way in the conversation. Now, this whole last piece, in which we have 2.5 versions of exactly who said what about Einan Magdish Davar Shelo Ba'Leolam, it's Rabbi Meir, and so on. Some have this whole last piece with the 2.5 parts on a completely different discussion. They have it on a braita in Bob Mitzia, where over there it goes like this. Normally, when you rent out a house, you are guaranteeing a house to the renter. If something happens to that house, burns down, collapses, you have to replace the house. So over there, the braita discusses. The braita discusses what happens if the house doesn't burn down, but it gets a nega. And it gets a nega that the kohen was machlit, that the house is going to be torn down. So you have to be notates the braita. So in that case, the braita says, if somebody was maskir bayit lechavero v'nit naga, and it got a nega, afal pi shechalato kohen, the kohen said, this house is tamei, and you're not allowed to live in it, and we're going to be tearing it down, but you didn't tear it down. It doesn't matter. The owner of the house can say to the renter, listen, buddy, the house is still here. You handle it. Because I promised a house. Here's a house. Now, Tosis points out, but he certainly doesn't have to pay rent, because if it's Osir Vanaha, yeah. But the moment that he tears down the house, then you have to provide him another house. So there, chayav la'amido bayit. And on this next piece, we got involved in the problem of magdish davar shelo bo la'olam. Higdisho hadar bo. So if the guy who lives in it was magdish the house, then he pays rent to Hegdish. What? Higdisho hadar bo. That's a crazy. What do you mean? How could the guy who is paying rent be magdish the house if he doesn't own the house? It's ridiculous. Hechimatzi magdish la. I mean, we have, actually, a house is the model, because it's real estate, for what is required for you to be magdish something. And we learn out from the pasuk, ish ki yadish beito kodesh. And that's what Omer Achmana. From where we learn that just like real estate can't disappear, so too, anything that you're magdish has to be accessible to you. Alakas kamarakam has to be yours. So just like beito is yours and it's birshuto, you can only be magdish something that is yours, birshuto. So how can the person who's renting it be magdish if it isn't his? You read that wrong. Not higdisho hadarbo, for heaven's sake. Higdisho, comma. Higdisho, meaning if the owner was magdish, then hadarbo, the guy who is living it, starts to pay rent to Hegdish. That's what it means. So hachikama, higdisho, comma, meaning the maskir, then hadarbo ma'alezachar la'egdish. Says you want a contract. It doesn't even make any sense. Higdisho maskir. If you tell me the owner was magdish the house, how is a renter allowed to live in a house belonging to Hegdish? He's going to be mail on it. And Hegdish is motzi midei shibud. So even though the guy says, you can't do that, I have a shibud, but Hegdish gets it anyway. And then he's not allowed to walk into that house if he nenner from it. He is going to be over on Mi'ila. Not to mention the fact that too, furthermore, if he did live in it, then, since he was mail on it, he has to pay Hegdish for the house. Forget about rent. The din is over there, you pay plus another 25%, then you bring a carbon, and the house itself is nafak l'chulin. So why are you malas chala Hegdish, given the mail bay? Once you were mail in it, nafak l'chulin, the whole house goes out l'chulin. It's about locus whether to say nafak l'sachar l'chulin, which is the way Tosus understands it. Because lechora, you wouldn't be able. Tainus Tosus, and he says most farm have this word nafak le'sachar l'chulin. In other words, because the other guy was magdish, he didn't know he was mael in it, and therefore the sachar was yotzi. But how can he bring the house into chulin? That's the whole question. That's how Rashi learns that the house went out to chulin. But this is a whole question that we'll deal with in Me'ila. What happens in such a case? But just know there's two girsaot here. So in that, if that's the case, he should not be paying rent to Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, now you're going to see how this became exactly the same problem that we just had in our sugya. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about that the one who rented out, the owner, says, well, when I get my rental money, it should become Kedesh. That's what it means. And there, now everything makes sense. And therefore, pay it directly to the Gizbar. Now, here we get into the problem. How can you be magdish rental money that you don't have yet? And this, of course, is exactly the same thing as our explanation of the shor, when I sell it, should become Kedesh. And we asked, how can you do that? And some have the discussion of Rabbi Yudah Amarav, on money, Rabbi Meir, he on this, that's where it was originally said. Obviously, it makes no difference. It would be applied to both equally. But where was it said? So according to this version, it was on that brayta that Rabbi Yudah Amarav said, oh, it's going a little bit of Rabbi Meir, the Omer Adam Magdish Davar Shelo Bo La'olam, and there too, Ikedi Amri. Some say what happened was that upon hearing the explanation of the brayta, Rav Papa turned to Abaye, or some say Rav Mori Bar Chama turned to Rav Chista, and ask, do you mean to say that you're explaining the brayta to Rabbi Meir? The Omar Adam Magdish Davar Shelo Bo La'olam? And he responded, well, what do you think? I'm stupid. Ella, come on, obviously I mean it. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Tom erki alai umet yitnu ayorshim, but omer damei alai vamet lo yitnu ayorshim, she'in damim lemetim. Erech yadiv erech ragli alai, lo amar klum. Erech roshi verech kvedi alai, noten erech kulo. Ze akwal, davar shaneshamat luyavo, noten erech kulo. Chatzi erki alai, noten chatzi erko. Erech chetzi alai, noten erech kulo. Chetzi domi alai, noten chetzi dama. Demei chetzi alai, noten demei kulo. Ze akwal, davar shaneshamat luyavo, noten demei kulo. Ha'omer erko shal ploni alai, Meta no der vani der, yitnu a yorshim. Da mav shoploni alayo meta no der, yitnu a yorshim. Meta ni der, lo yitnu a yorshim. She'en damim le metim. Tan rabona. Chorme bin adar mi ba'erach in shen adar mchalam al behim achaye va'ov. Ve'en ni donim be'esegyad ma shenking ba'erach. Chorme ba'erach min adar im ketsa. Omer ki alay va'met yitnu yorshim. Da mi alay va'met lo yitnu yorshim. She'en damim le metim. Omer erki alai v'met yitnu yorshim? Why? Unless shmai min ha-milva al-peh govem min ha-yorshim? No, shani ha-cha. It's a milva k'tova b'torah. Okay, but at least shmai min ha-milva k'tova b'torah ki k'tova b'shtar danya? No, ha-chma eskini k'shamad b'din. No, dekavati gavi domi alai. It's talking about shamad b'din? Sena mailo yitnu yorshim? Because domi alai is b'chusar umdana. Erki alai lo mechusar v'lo klum. Erich yadi v'erich yad ragli alai omer of gil amarad, but he still has to pay the domi. What? The Mishnah says lo amar klum. Yeah, lo amar klum according to Rabbanan. But notain the mail that I'm saying is a leave it to Rabbi Meir. So, but you already said that. Omer chodazim, and omer of gidol amarav, omer erech kliza alai notein damav. Yeah, but ma de tema, that's only because ha tamud anam yodea shein erech likli, v'gomar v'omar l'shem damim, aval hacha mita katoi, dekasava kiech dik erech roshi v'erech kvedi, ikanami erech yadi v'erech agli, aval domi lo kamar kamashvan, even here, domi kam. Erech roshi v'erech kvedi notein erech kulo, My time, the erkha nifashot kamarachmana. Zeakwal davashana shamatuyabo. What are you adding with the zeakwal? Latuye menarkuvavala mala. Chetzi erki alai notain chetzi erko. Tan rabbanan chetzi erko alai notain chetzi erko. Rebyez rebyiromer. Nope. Loke. Venotain erk shalem. Loke. The guy didn't do anything wrong. Am I? Omer of Papa, it means he takes a hit and he's low keber shalem. My time, gizera chetzi arki otu erech chetzio. And erech chetzio would be a davar shana shamatu le'abon. You'd have to pay 100%. Chetzi dami alai notain deme chetzi also notain deme kulo. Why? I thought it was a din in be'erkecha nefashot. True, but it says neder be'erkecha nefashot ktiv. Zeakwal. Davar shana shamat luyabo la tuye vidarkuva vilamal. Ton Rabban, hamar chetzi erech kli, Rabbi Meir omer noten damav, mini chetzi damav, v'chachamim omrim lo amar klum. Now Rava cholash ola gabe abaye v'rabban, and they were discussing that right, and vishlama Rabbi Meir, okay, he holds ain't not a much dwarf lefatola. What's the difference? He says kulo, what's the difference? He says chetzio. But the Rabbanan, Micah Savre, if they hold modem mochi dvar of lefatala afilu kulonami, vi imena da mochi dvar of lefatala afilu chetzionami, omar lehu, they buy a rabbi to the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan dog Rabbi Meir's Savrila, but they're also Savrila Rabbi Shimon. Savrila Rabbi Meir, indeed, about inona mochi dvar of lefatala, but nonetheless, Savrila Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, if he had said, my entire TV said, the kulokli, it's urche litnaduve. But palge lav urche litnaduve. Ha'omer erko shoploni alai v'met hanoder. So, what are we talking about? Shomad bedin. Zayno ha? Seifa itztrich alai. Domav shoploni alai v'met hanoder. We're over there, yitnua yorshim. Because I would have thought it would be the same case as we said before. Ma the tema kibin de lo amdu, there's not even a shibud in the chasim. Kamash balan, that since in the end the guy is still alive, so kibin de yomad bedin, for sure ishtabid ishtabudin yichsei. The fact that we're going to do the umdana tomorrow, that's kilo milta be'alma as to how large the lien was. Shor ze ola, bayit ze korban, met ashor navala bayit, patrum l'shalem. But shor ze alay ola, bayit ze alay korban, met ashor navala bayit, chayab l'shalem. Omre p'chia barav lo shonu ala do omar d'me shor ze alay ola. But if he literally said, shor ze alay ola, kivanda amar ze v'meit, eno chayab v'achrayuto. All that he meant with the word alai is alai lahavi oka ama meitve. Shor ze ola ashor hegda shumo alimbo. Meito nigdav eno chayav v'achrayuto. Shor ze alai ola ashor hegda shumo alimbo. Meito nigdav chayav v'achrayuto. So, what's your question? Mialimi mimatmitin, I explained the Mishnah also. It said the same words. And I explained ukimna teka amar adami, the main shot. So here too, how can I have a gomar adami? Vomi the sefer the gomar adami, reisha the lo gomar adami, the kani sefer. Dami shor zeola, ashor chulin, ve'in mo'alim bo. Meito nignav, eno chayav bachrayuto. But if you'd already sold it, you're chayav bachrayu damav. Ach, you misunderstand. Reisha and Sefer both talking about that you said to me. The Reisha is talking about that you said yaikadesh hashor right now for its value. That's why you're maya. Sefer dika omar likishi avo damav. At that point, it should become kodesh. How can you make it kodesh in advance? You can. I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. This whole last discussion. Listen, buddy, Arishal Chalafanech. But, Nitetzo, there's no longer a house. It gets Arishal Chalafanech. Chayav Lamid Labayit. Hikdisho Hadarbo, at least that's what we thought it meant. Malas Karla Hekdish. Hikdisho Hadarbo, what are you crazy? Hekabatzi Magdish, he doesn't own it. Ishki Akdish Betoko, the Shomarachmana. Ma Betober Shuto, Avkober Shuto. No, no, you read it. Put the comma in the wrong place. Hokikama, Higdi Show, meaning the maskir, Hadarbo Malaskar Lehdish. Higdi Show maskir. So then how could there be a Darbo? Echi Dairebe? He would be over on the Ila. Furthermore, what do you mean? If he was Mayos, then Malaskar Lehdish. Given the Malbe Nafak Leskar Lehkulit? No, it's talking about that the Magdish said, when the money for the rental comes in, it should become Kodesh. How can you do that? Ain't all the magdish davar shelo bal yolam. Omer Rabbi Yonam Rava Mani Rabbi Meiri. The Omer da magdish davar shelo bal yolam. Or others say that what happened was that Rav Papa looked at Abaya and said, or some say Rav Mori Bar Chama looked at Rav Chista and said, "Come on, Rabbi Meir, the Omer da magdish davar shelo bal yolam." And he looked back at him and said, "Well, what do you think?" Ve'ela come on.